All right. So, new series, which is building on the old series. Last month, we were outside talking about the gospel. And so this month, what we're going to be doing is breaking it down, okay? We're going to be breaking down the gospel. There is a reason why I shared it the way I shared it. There was four different ways. Actually, Reverend Burks kind of led the first way, but we're going to talk about that. So again, you know, if you are unfamiliar with the gospel presentations, we have a whole month of it. Go on our website, sjbcla.org/sermons, and you will see the gospel series. It's up there for your listening and downloading pleasure. With that said, this month, we're going to break it down a little bit, okay? And so we're going to start this month in the book of 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, 20 through 23rd verses. And yes, I understand time is moving. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and read it out of the Christian Standard Bible version. Find 1 Corinthians 9th chapter 20 through 23rd verse. But of course, there's somebody that may not know how to read this or how to read the Bible. Go to the table of contents. It's in the beginning. Go to the New Testament section. Find 1 Corinthians. It's after Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. Okay? And then right there, 1 Corinthians. Go to that page number. Go to the 9th chapter, and you will find me at the 20th verse. If you did not keep up, that's all right. The words are on the screen. First Corinthians, 9th chapter 20 through the 23rd verses. And it reads as follows. It says, verse 20, to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win Jews. To those under the law, like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, to win those under the law. To those who are without the law, like one without the law, though I am not without God's law, but under the law of Christ, to win those without the law. To the weak, I became weak in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that I may by every possible means save some. Verse 23. Now I do all this because of the gospel, so that I may share in the blessings. And for a brief moment, what we're going to cover is this topic, addressing worldviews. Addressing worldviews. So, most Americans have a hard time realizing this, but not everybody thinks the way we think. Not everybody's values are the same as our values. Not everybody's understanding of things is the same as ours. We have many different cultures in the world, and sometimes us Americans, we like to think that we're the best one, that we're the right one, because we've invented the internet, we've invented planes, we've invented cars, we've done all these things. We got the most money, supposedly. And so we think we are all the way on top. However, there is a big world out there. We're about something around 400 or 450 million people. I got to double check the number, but the world is around close to 8 billion. With a B? People think differently. And I'm not going to get off into this too much, but that might be some of the problems in our relationships. is that we think differently. And instead of acknowledging other people's worldviews, we just seem to think ours is the primary. But we're going to get off of that. That's a whole different sermon, whole different series. When preaching the gospel, unfortunately, many Christians only know how to address one worldview, when in fact, there are others. What works as far as your understanding of this, it may work for you, but it may not work for somebody else. Christians in Africa, Christians in Latin America, Christians in Asia think differently, fundamentally, than Christians in what we call the West. Okay? But we don't have to worry about going that far. There's people that think differently in America. Matter of fact, there's people that think differently in your family. And if truth be told, to a certain degree, there's people that think differently here and there online. And so you want to understand that the gospel is for everybody, but if people think differently, and if they understand things differently, but if you only say it one way, you're going to miss a lot of people. And so that was what last month was about, was bringing the different types of ways to present the gospel, because they were based on different worldviews. Let's some real quick recap. The gospel of forgiveness. We talked about that. We talked about how fundamentally what's wrong is that we are guilty of sin, and that Jesus, through his death, we receive forgiveness on the cross. That's fundamentally the gospel of forgiveness, and that works with some people. But there's also a way to present it, which is the gospel of restoration. And that was, you might remember, when we talked about how what we did shamed God and shamed ourselves, and that God had to restore us to a place of honor. And what Jesus did on the cross was that he took all of our shame. I had to mention the resurrection, because Jesus was raised to prove his innocence and to show how we can be innocent in him. And in restoration, Jesus, through his resurrection, had the supreme honor. He has the name that is above every name, because he is the living God. He's the true God. And so he is honorable, and because he has resurrected, we too, because of the life that we have now, we are sons and daughters of God. Which is the ultimate honor. You can't get closer than that. And then we had the gospel of deliverance. We were talking about how, you know, that we are bound in sin, whatever that sin may be, whether it's to an addiction, or maybe you're bound by spirits, because we talked about that. Not everybody wants to acknowledge it, but there are spirits in this world. We're in bondage, and we need to be rescued. And Jesus did that, and he disarmed the authorities and the principalities on the cross. He did that, and not only did he do that, but he rose from the dead. So sin, Satan, and death all defeated because of what he did. And when we are in Christ, we have been delivered from what has bound us. And then there's the gospel of cleansing, where we talked about how sin has made us defective because God is holy, and that stain of sin that is on us, and some of us have a whole lot of stains of sin on us, makes us impure before God. However, Jesus went and took all of that on the cross, and because of that, all of our sin was imputed onto him. And so we are looked at as clean. We are looked at as holy because of Jesus Christ, not because he died, not just because he died, but also because he rose. And because of that, we have this cleansing. We are holy, and we know our future. So these were presented different ways. And some of y'all say, well, if it was that quick, why? It would have been a lot shorter of sermon, right? I encourage y'all to listen to the sermons to get the details. Where did this come from? So let's talk about the gospel of forgiveness. Okay? Stay with me. Because it's going to make the scripture mean something when we get to it. There are cultures in the world, and mainly it's been characterized by Western culture, where it's all about guilt and innocence. What rules is exactly that, rule, legality. We understand legal matters. We understand that there are rules and regulations. In fact, in the Baptist church, we like things done decently and in, amen, and in order. To survive in a society like this, you need to be good. What does being good look like? Being good means you don't have a criminal record. How much of your life gets cut short? How many of your opportunities get cut short when there's a criminal record involved? And we know this. Why? Because that's how the system, again, another legal thing, another structural thing, that's how it's set up. So the way to do well in a society like Western society is to follow the rules. Do the right thing. Some of y'all remember that Spike Lee movie. Do the right thing. Be innocent. Don't mess up. And so when we hear the gospel, it makes a lot of sense, because when we do something wrong against God, we call that what? Sin. It's when we do something wrong. We are now guilty. We're no longer innocent. And because we're guilty, now we got to be condemned. Y'all see how that goes? There's our condemnation, and then that's where the whole presentation is. So when we're talking to people who are under that system, we preach it that way, where they understand the idea of guilt. They understand I've done something wrong and that there's nothing I can do to undo that thing, and this is where Jesus comes in. We understand that. But then there's also cultures. And this is also in the U.S., and I'm going to get into that in a minute, but this is also very prevalent in Asian cultures, Eastern cultures. But this is about honor and shame, okay? You will read the Bible differently if you understand this, is that what matters in certain societies. And I'm not saying all Asian cultures, okay? I'm not here. I'm not Asian. Don't have a drop of it. I did the DNA test. I can't tell you, okay? However, from people that have are from there and who have lived there and who have studied these things, and just from my personal observations with people that I know, I can attest to this, and that the important thing is making sure that you are honorable. You don't want to do anything that will bring shame on the group. Because if you do something shameful, you get kicked out. Actually, a lot of our churches operate like this. I could follow the rules. I could do everything right. But if I do something that embarrasses St. John, y'all gonna be looking at me real funny. Hello? If I happen to be at a Coldplay concert, hello? And get caught with somebody I'm not supposed to get caught with. Even though I followed the rules at my job, even though I never stole money, even though I was never guilty, they will give me the boot. Why? Because you brought shame. And so people in that culture, and by the way, that's actually kind of how we've been coming along. Social media is very much on shaming. Y'all ever heard of cancel culture? That's literally what it is. Now, when you're doing that, when you bring shame, they want you away from them because it's shameful if we have somebody as messed up as you with us. Because then, what does that say about us, right? So you kick them out. Let them fend for themselves. So when we explain the gospel like that shame was brought upon us, and then we shamed the name of our Lord and Savior, it makes sense that what Jesus did on the cross was so significant because he took all that shame and he was despised and brutally beaten and spit on. And all of that was for you, and that when he took it on the cross, see, people understand that now because they know what shame is like. You know what it's like to then be honored and given a status. You know that in that culture. And so it matters. And then when you're in certain other cultures, typically they're like more, they say more tribal cultures. However, not only is it prevalent there, it's also prevalent in the U.S. as well, where things happen because of spirits and the spiritual authorities going on. This matters. You try to preach about forgiveness to somebody, and it's like, well, okay, that's great, but this shaman over here is able to heal us. And so it's kind of hard to put my faith in Jesus Christ when I'm sick, and I know that this sorcerer can come over here and heal me. So, I mean, it's great, you know, the shame part is great, you know, legal, you know, that's great, but I have to serve this other God or these other spirits so that I can continue to maintain my life because they have a hold on me, because if I don't do what they say, then they're going to send all these evil spirits to my families and then they're going to kill them. Y'all realize I'm not talking about Hollywood, right? I'm talking about real life. People, this is how people process things. And so when we come over there and we start talking about that, we need to understand that our God, it has authority over all. That all the demons are subject to him, and that in the name of Jesus, they have to flee. We have a God that has a name above all the names. We sing this song, in the name of Jesus, we have the victory. In the name of Jesus, Satan, you have to flee. Do we really believe that? Like the actual Satan has to flee at the name of Jesus? That the people that are the magicians and the shamans and the sorcerers and whatnot, that they have absolutely no power when it comes to Jesus Christ, that Jesus can actually reverse all of what is going on? See, they'll understand that. They'll understand that when you talk about you disarmed the powers. Wow, you disarmed the powers and principalities on the cross? They'll understand that. Does that make sense? And lest y'all think that this is only happening in sub-Saharan Africa or South Asia, y'all might want to look in y'all own families. Because some of us are doing some strange things. Even in the church. I told the story about, you know, a while ago about when Felicia was talking with some lady at some event that I cannot name because y'all gonna start asking questions. That she, you know, she was given the mic and everything. She was one of the prominent ladies, and then gave her some little tricks on how to handle things with and I'm trying to remember the voodoo, you know, little voodoo tricks. The lady had the mic just like I do right now, talking to people just like y'all, in a setting just like this. And after that, she talking about here's how you take care of that. Hello? You don't have to look far. Some of us are laughing, and some of us are real quiet. Mm-hmm. And then there's the gospel of cleansing, because there are certain cultures that talk about purity. If you understand how they think about purity, how it's important to be of their race. Yeah, this is bringing up some bad experiences now. How only certain people qualify, and certain classes of people qualify in that group of people that qualify for certain things. If you understand that, you'll understand a lot of the tension that was going on with the Jews. Sacrifices were offered to clean us of sins. Jews had a hard time understanding that that this gospel was for everybody, because Yahweh is the God of the Jews. Not of the Africans, not of the Latinos, not of the Asians. Y'all understand what I'm saying? And there are cultures out there, and unfortunately, America has had a culture and actually still has a culture like this, to a degree, where only certain people qualify. Only certain people are considered correct, and everyone else is less than, or just simply different. And this can, there's a lot of applications that this can take, and I'm going to save that, you know, a lot more of these applications for Bible study. 6:30 this week. Wednesday, 6:30 p.m. But understand that you the gospel that you know, the way that you know it, I mean, people might understand it, but it would be more effective if your presentation was in the way that they understood it. Do y'all understand that? I mean, I understand that you can, you know, you can, that the God can break chains, and that, you know, all demons are subject to him, and that, you know, you know sickness and disease, that those things can be subject. I get that. However, when a person is feeling guilty of their sin, you kind of miss a little bit. When you're talking about how God can clean you and he can make you whole and that you don't have to be defective, and when you understand that, but you're talking to a person that's really just struggling with shame, then you might get some of it, but you miss part of it too. And truth be told, that's also one of the reasons why some of us Christians struggle. Because we only understand the gospel one way. Some of us understand that Christ can clean me up. However, we don't understand that Christ can raise me to a place of honor. So we're still stuck with the same shame that we got because we were abused years ago. And we never heal from it because the gospel doesn't apply. Do y'all see what I'm saying? Some of us are good people. We're good people, and we try to do what we can to stay out of trouble and whatnot. We try to follow the rules, but we just keep getting afflicted with things. And we have no idea how the Bible applies to that, because we don't actually understand that God is a deliverer as well as a forgiver. So we continue to struggle because we don't understand the gospel. And this is why, as I'm getting ready to close, this is why Paul comes and says that to all of these people, I have to become like these people so that he could win these people. Look at that. To the Jews, verse 20. To the Jews, I became like a Jew. 1 Corinthians 9, chapter 20th verse. To the Jews, I became like a Jew. Why? To win Jews. To win people that think Jewish. To those under the law, like one under the law. Even though he's not under the law, he has to be like under the law. That he wants to follow the rules and regulations that were in the Old Testament and whatnot. He has to do it so that people can respect the word that he is getting ready to give to them. He doesn't come and say, I'm just the superior person, you need to get on my level. He says, I am with you. And I understand what you're going through. And here is why Christ is so awesome. He keeps saying this, to win those under the law. Verse 21, to those who are without the law, like one without the law, though I'm not without God's law, but all under the law of Christ. To win those without the law. I think I explained this in another sermon, but some of us need to learn how to share the gospel without using scripture. Because some people don't know about scripture. And honestly, some people may not even, once you bring up scripture, it kind of turns them off. But we have to learn how to talk to people who have no knowledge of Christ. We have to know how to do that. To those, verse 22, to the weak, I became weak. And when he was talking about weakness, he was talking about people that subject themselves to unnecessary, regulations. And I'm going to say something. I might make some people mad. We know that we can eat shrimp. We know. However, when I'm with you and you don't want me to eat shrimp, because if we eat shrimp, that's a sin. Fine. I'm not going to eat shrimp. However, I'm going to explain to God, to y'all, how God works, even while I'm being under these rules and regulations that you have. This is how Paul thought. He was willing to do these things. He said, I have become all things to all people, so that I may by every possible means save some. And the reason he does it is because of the gospel. The point I'm trying to make is that the gospel is not one-dimensional, because man is not one-dimensional. We talked about how different cultures might believe certain things, but if truth be told, we're all a mix. We all have a little bit of legality and a little bit of the restoration and the honor and the shame. We have a little bit of deliverance. We have a little bit of the cleanliness aspect. We all have some of these in our lives. And what Paul is trying to say is that he is trying to understand the people that he's talking to, because he knows the gospel can speak to them. And for us, when we go let's not even talk about evangelism, let's talk about us. The gospel speaks to all parts of your lives. And if you don't know how, it doesn't mean that the gospel doesn't speak. It just means you don't know how. And my encouragement is to learn, because the gospel is not one-dimensional. God is not one-dimensional. When you really understand what Jesus did on the cross, when you really understand what Jesus did, what the significance of being raised from the dead, you'll understand that Jesus did a lot. There's a whole lot that happened on that cross. There's a whole lot that happened when he was buried. And there was a whole lot on that third day that happened when he was raised from the dead. There's a lot that happened. And so just please remember, it's easy to tell your version of the gospel, but it's hard to tell people their version of the gospel. Yeah, Christians, we got to work. Yeah, if we say we're trying to reach somebody and we want to be out there for Christ and we want to glorify God among the people, we got to know what these people do. We got to know what these people, how these people think. We got to know how they operate. And if you do that, you'll find out, again, that that also spills over just to how you are with their relationships in general. It's not just about how you think. And especially us Western Christians, we have an issue with that because we're in such an individualistic culture. We usually preach a relationship between you and God alone. But the world is bigger than you. And the gospel is bigger than the way that you understand it. And even I have to continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and knowledge. I have to know more about what he has done. So to end this sermon, in order to speak to them about Jesus, we must speak their language. You need to learn their language. We're not just talking about learn Japanese, although if you're on missions, that's what you got to do. But we're talking about learn how people are, learn how they think. Even if you do not go all across the world, if you are just trying to reach people in your family, there are differences in generations. People think fundamentally differently. And I understand that, you know, you want to impose the way you think because it's right. However, Christ is for everybody. And the gospel is not one-dimensional. So learn how to speak their language.